Hello, my friends. This is the sermon podcast of First Baptist Church Moberly. This is something new for us. We've never done an intro like this before. You're listening to the right thing. This is just something new that we're trying out. The sermon you're listening to here today is a sermon that I preached on April 2nd, 2023. It was actually the 100-year anniversary of our radio license. 100 years ago, April 2nd, 1923, our church, First Baptist Moberly, they started their own radio station, KFFP, and their tagline was the Gospel Messengers of the Air. And so today, April 2nd, 2023, we celebrated that. And I preached a message called Gospel Messengers. It's a good reminder to us that we are still gospel messengers. The message comes from Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. And just like Peter and the apostles were gospel messengers, so we too are gospel messengers. So grab your Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 5, and be blessed as we gather and study God's Word together. All right, church family, if you have your Bibles, open them to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. A few thousand years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt. We call that Sunday, we call that Palm Sunday, and we call his entry into Jerusalem the triumphal entry. It's one of the few events that all four gospel accounts record. In Luke's account of the triumphal entry, we see the Pharisees. You know how those Pharisees are. We see them trying to keep order in Jerusalem. You see, people were taking these palm branches and they were laying them down on the road so that Jesus had something to enter on. They were taking their cloaks and laying them down. It wasn't quite a red carpet entry, but it was all they had. And so it was an entry fit for a humble king, right? And so Jesus comes in and there was a big old ruckus. And in Luke's account, well, the Pharisees, they were, what's the word? They were being Pharisees. See, I took vacation for a week and my jokes didn't get any better, I guess. I tried. Well, the Pharisees turned to Jesus and they said, Jesus, rebuke these people. Like, get these people in order. Tell them to stop. They're being too loud. They're being too rowdy. And do you remember what Jesus said? He said, look, if I tell them to be quiet, even the stones would cry out. On April 2nd, 1923, our church was so forward-thinking that they created their own radio station. 3 years before NBC. What'd you say, Jim? 2 years before Grand Ole Opry? Times have changed now. Apparently, AM radio stations aren't in cars. We don't own our own radio station now, but we're still live on the radio. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Facebook. We have our weekly podcast. But make no mistake, the world is the same today as it was in the Pharisees' time. There are still Pharisees today, but we don't call them Pharisees anymore. You see, the world still today does everything it can to say, tell that church to shut up. Tell them to be quiet. Tell them to be silent. But Jesus' words are just as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. If we were to be silent, well, even the stones would cry out in worship to God. As the radio, the computer, the internet would all cry out glory to God, because nothing, 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 nothing can stop the gospel message. And when you leave here today, what I want you to leave here knowing is that nothing, nothing can stop the message of the gospel, and that you are the ones who are called to carry the gospel of the message. You are the gospel messengers. Today we'll see three outcomes of the gospel message, three outcomes of the gospel message from Acts chapter 5. Before we dive in, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, humble our hearts, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for your work that you're going to accomplish here. Thank you for your goodness to us, for your kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, that as as you said 2,000 years ago, that even if we were to be silent, the stones would cry out. The world knows, creation knows, and we know that you are Savior and Lord. And we will do all we can to tell a lost and dying world the truth about who you are and what you've done and why it matters. And we pray all this in the saving, miraculous, awesome, awe-inspiring name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Three outcomes of the gospel message. Number one, the gospel message will bring the lost to faith. Listen, the lost aren't saved. They're not saved by persuasive words of men. But rather the lost are saved by, well, by the Lord. By hearing the authoritative word of God. They're not saved by weak methods of men, but by the strong message of God. We don't need to be cute with our message. We don't need to be cute with how we deliver the message. We don't need to even be creative with our message. You know what we need to do? We need to be accurate with our message. We need to accurately stand and boldly stand and share the gospel of Jesus and share who Jesus is. So much of our evangelism is so, impersonal. So impersonal. We share Jesus as though he's a historical figure. We share him as though he's like George Washington. We talk about him as though he was a man who once lived. A man that we all once know actually did exist. We offer people platitudes like Jesus will change everything about you. We offer him the best we can, which is the platitudes that we offer, and that's the best that we can do if Jesus is just some guy that we read about in a book. But Jesus didn't once exist. He currently exists. He's not some guy in a tomb. He's not just pages in a book. Next week I'll stand. When we open up our service, I will stand on Easter Sunday and I will say three words. He is risen. Because he's alive. He's not just someone who existed 2,000 years ago and then died. He's alive and well. He is doing fine. He came back to life. And he gives us what the world so desperately needs. Jesus offers us hope and love and joy and peace. And he gives us patience and kindness and goodness to a world that is so desperate for love and hope and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. And beyond that, Jesus gives us righteousness and holiness, which is exactly what Michael preached about last week. Michael preached on Ananias and Sapphira and their sin in the early church, premeditated sin, as Michael called it. The Lord takes sin so seriously, well, that it equaled death. And by the way, sin always equals death. In fact, that's exactly why Jesus died, for sin. Not his own sin, but your sin and my sin. But he didn't stay dead. He came back to life and he sent us out, empowered by the Holy Spirit, equipped with the gospel, to tell the world exactly this. He is risen. That's what the church preached in the book of Acts. The gospel, the resurrection of Jesus. He is alive. Look in your Bibles, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Just start there. The Bible says this: many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, but the people spoke well of them. Pause for a minute and ask yourself, why would no one dare join them? Well, Michael preached last week on the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. And somebody remind me, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They died. They died because they committed a pretty grievous sin when they lied to God. They were selfishly seeking their own glory. They were halfway committed, if we can even call it that. And so what I think what we see here is
is there were people that were just not totally, they weren't totally, they didn't totally buy into the whole Jesus thing. And so when we read that no one else dared to join them, I think those were the Ananias and Sapphiras who were like, I don't know if I want to go into that. But they're good people. I mean, we see them doing good things. But I don't know if I'm ready for that. So no one else dared join them. But we ought not assume that people weren't coming to faith in Christ. Because look at verse 14 through 16. The Bible says in verse 14, believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, multitudes of both men and women. And as a result, they would carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Look at verse 14 again. The Bible says, multitudes came to faith in Christ. I mentioned a few weeks ago that word multitudes is the Greek word plethos, which is where we get the word plethora from, which means a whole lot, right? A ton of people, a multitude of people were saved. Why were they saved? Because the gospel message brought lost people to faith. It always does. It always will. And they would carry sick people and they would lay them on cots, and there was a traffic jam in Jerusalem because all the surrounding towns heard about this. Listen, which means this. If you get in the mail a flyer from someone who says, I've got a healing ministry and I'm coming to town on such and such date, throw it away. Don't go. You say, why not? Because it's hogwash. The apostles here did not need clever advertising for their healing ministry. You say, why not? Because they had a real healing ministry. Word traveled. It got out. And the people from the surrounding towns knew about it. They knew and they came, and there was a traffic jam. People from the surrounding towns, verse 16 says, came together, brought the sick and those who were tormented from unclean spirits. And there's a curious word at the very end of verse 16. Look in your Bibles. Nearly every translation says the same word. It's three letters, A-L-L. You see it? All. All of them were healed. It wasn't just one person who came forward and then some guy hit him on the head. No, this was genuine. This was real. Every one of them were healed. And that opened an avenue for the gospel. But don't miss this. The greatest miracle that ever happened here was not that they were all healed. The greatest miracle is this. Verse 14. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers. That's the miracle. Because they, like us, they deserved hell, like us. They, we don't deserve heaven. But God made a way for us because he loves us. That's the gospel message. Jesus made a way for us. And the best that we can give him in return is a couple of palm branches. That's the best we can do. And he loves it. That's the best we can do, and he loves it. That's the miracle. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing number. We serve a humble king. But make no mistake, he is a king. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen? The gospel message will bring the lost to faith. Secondly, the gospel message will bring trouble to the church. A church that does gospel work will have trouble. Expect it. It will happen. Expect it. If you expect to be saved and to do the work of the gospel and to live happily and joyfully unaffected for the rest of your life, I would encourage you to do two things. And I don't say this in a demeaning or a flippant way, but seriously, I would encourage you to do two things. Number one, I would encourage you to read your Bible. And number two, I would encourage you to watch the news. Because when you read the Bible, what you discover, even in the book of Acts, is that doing what Jesus commanded the disciples to do brought trouble. We'll see it here. And when you watch the news, what you will discover is that doing what Jesus calls you to do brings trouble. Every single time. Do those two things, and then you draw conclusions in your own life. You should expect that when you live out your faith, trouble will come. In Acts chapter 3, help me remember. You guys have good rememberers. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are walking to the temple, and they're going to heal a man who couldn't walk. Do you remember where they were? Okay, now where did they gather? When the crowd gathered, where were they? Okay, but they were in a place. Look in Acts chapter 3. Solomon's portico is where they were. And by the end of Acts chapter 4, they were arrested and they were told to shut up about Jesus, right? Now somebody remind me, look in verse 12, Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Where are they now? They're right back at Solomon's colony. This is a bold dude, this Peter, isn't he? He's a bold guy. He was arrested and told to shut up about Jesus. And a couple of days later, he's like, hey, let's go back to Solomon's colonnade. Let's see what's happening there. He's right back at the same place where he got arrested. Now, you smell that? I smell trouble. You smell it? Trouble's in the air. My jokes still aren't any better. I'm going to keep trying, though. Here we go. Verse 17. Look in your Bibles. Verse 17. Then the high priest rose up. He and all who were with him, who belonged to the party of the Sadducees. And they were filled with jealousy. So they arrested the apostles and they put them in public jail. They were filled with jealousy. Why do you think they were filled with jealousy? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is God and they are not. By the way, that's always the source of trouble for the church, because Jesus is God and they are not. We submit to God and we refuse to follow men. That will always bring trouble to the church. Christ Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is our Lord. We bow the knee to no one else, and that brings trouble to a world, to a church that exists in a world filled with lowercase g gods. It always will. They were filled with jealousy, verse 18 says, that they were arrested and they were put in public jail. The word public jail implies that the high priest wanted to make a spectacle of them, that he wanted to make a public point. They had warned the church to be quiet, but the church came right back to Solomon's portico, came right back. And so now the high priest and the Sadducees, they were going to make an example out of them. Put them in public jail. It's time. We're gonna show them who the boss is. Or so they thought. The gospel message will bring the lost to faith, but it will also bring trouble to the church. And when trouble comes, listen to me, when trouble comes, you stay the course. Because the gospel message will also bring blessing to the church. You stay faithful. You stay faithful when trouble comes, even to the very end. You stay faithful to your Lord, and blessing will follow. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. You know that old joke, right? That's why they're so sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That didn't sound like a real laugh on your part. Did you know that Acts 23:8 tells us they didn't believe in angels either? That Sadducees didn't believe in angels or demons? So they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. And we just read that the high priest, who was a Sadducee, arrested the apostles and put them in public jail in order to make a public example out of them. So the high priest doesn't believe in resurrection, and he doesn't believe in angels, but the truth doesn't change based upon who believes in it. The truth is true whether or not you believe in it or not. The truth is true whether or not the high priest believed in it or not. The truth is not an opinion poll. The truth doesn't need you to believe in it to be true. Your belief in something doesn't change its truthfulness. It's true. The resurrection, it's real and it's true. And I can't wait until next week to say he is risen. And the resurrection of Jesus is true. So the Sadducees, I guess, are just going to have to be so Sadducee. I'm going to keep working on it. Don't worry. Angels, they are real. The Sadducees deny their existence, but the truth doesn't care. Angels are real. And in this case, the high priest arrested the apostles in an effort to make a public example out of them. And watch what happens as the Lord... Just watch what happens. Look in your Bibles, verse 19. Are your eyes on the Bible? Because you got to see this. But an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night. You see how the Lord works? Talk about blessing for the church. The Sadducee didn't believe in angels. Take that. An angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night, brought them out, and said, "Go and stand in the temple and tell all the people, or rather, tell the people about this life." They were just arrested for the second time for standing in the temple and telling people about this life. By the way, this life is a description of the life that God has provided through Jesus. Look in your Bibles, Acts 3:15. Peter referred to Jesus as the source of life. And now the angel says, "Go back to the temple and tell them about this life. Go back to the temple and tell them about not someone in the grave," past tense, "life. Jesus. Go back and tell them about Jesus. Go back to the place where you were just arrested and do it again." And I love verse 21, because in verse 21, there's no committee meeting, right? There's no prayer meeting. There's no discussion. There's no, like, "Hold up, we need to talk about this because we just got arrested." There is just pure obedience, and therein lies the blessing. Blessing comes with pure obedience. Look at verse 21, the first half of verse 21. The Bible says, "Hearing this, they entered the temple at daybreak, and they began to teach." And this is where we end. 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a colt, and he said, "If my disciples were quiet, even the rocks would cry out." And a few days later, the rock himself would cry out on a cross. He would say those three words, "It is finished. They would take him down from that cross and they would bury him in a tomb. But he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected with all the syllables, came back to life, defeated death. He is not just a historical figure in a textbook. He's not just some guy in some book. He is the risen Savior who gives you life and life abundant. He is the one who gives you joy and peace and hope. He's the one you've been looking for your whole life. Yes. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. I promise. The Bible says, repent and believe, and you will be saved. And by God's authoritative word, I can tell you, if you repent of your sins and trust in Christ alone, you will be saved. 100 years ago, we began a radio ministry called the Gospel Messengers of the Air, KFFP. On this map, you can see actually our call station. What do you call those things, Brad? Call letters. I'll get it by the time you leave. You can see on Moberly. We couldn't find a date for this thing, could we, Jim? 1924. So you can when you leave, come up here and look at this map. It was 1924, and you can find Moberly, and on Moberly you can see our call letters. Told you I'd get it. KFFP, that was First Baptist Church, the Gospel Messenger of the Air. That was what we did, and our hope was that somebody would be saved, that we would take the gospel in the air, and that someone would turn their radio on, and they would hear the gospel and be saved. And today the gospel message continues on the radio, and we'll continue that for sure. No worries there. We continue on YouTube and on Facebook, and we have a weekly podcast. We've got the gospel messenger of the air. We've got that covered. What we need are gospel messengers on the street. And gospel messengers in the workplace, and gospel messengers in the home, and gospel messengers in the neighborhood, and gospel messengers in the office, and gospel messengers in the schools, and gospel messengers in the locker room, and gospel messengers at the restaurant, because the gospel message will always bring the lost to faith, but you should expect that it will bring trouble. But stick with it, because it will bring blessing. And this is the call. You are the gospel messengers. You are the single most effective witness for the gospel. Not me, not Michael, not Bob, you. You are the single most effective witness for the gospel. You don't need to trust in your own wisdom. You don't need to trust in your own skill. You don't need to trust in your own ability. You need to only trust in the gospel message and in the Lord, who is so very good. He's way better at this than you are. Trust in him. Take it with you. The gospel message, that is. Take it with you. It was never intended to stay in the pew. Take it with you. It was always intended to be taken as you go. To God be the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for equipping and calling us to be gospel messengers. God, I pray you would send us out with the gospel message to change the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
well, I hope this sermon has been a blessing to you, and I hope and pray that the Lord blesses you as a result of an encounter with his word. If there's anything we can do to help you in your journey and your walk with Christ, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can email us at office@fbcmoberly.org. You can call us. I'd love to talk with you. 660-263-5351. It's almost Easter, and of course, if you're listening to this after Easter, then just disregard this part, but this coming Sunday is Easter, and we'd love to have you join us here at First Baptist Church at 514 West Rollins. We meet at 10:45 every Sunday. We'd love to have you join with us as we celebrate the risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, I hope you have a great God-glorifying week. May God bless you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Have a great week.